Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Hip Hop, Let's Talk R&B, Let's Talk What's Going On in the Community. And returning with me, I've got actor, my friend, Michael James Lazar. How you doing?
I am doing well, and happy new year to you, my friend, as well as to all the listeners. Okay. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and you're listening, and listeners, this is our first episode of 2021 interview. So, yes, you are.
What an honor. Happy New Year. I feel honored.
You're celebrating the New Year with us, and, you know, you've been on this show before, but for those that don't know, do you want to tell a little bit about yourself again, just in case there might be new listeners listening in 2021?
Of course, of course. My name is Michael James Lazar. I am an actor or a gypsy, whatever you prefer to refer to me as, because that's what actors are. We are, in a sense, gypsies, in a way. But yes, I am an actor, and I have been on shows. You might have seen me on, potentially, Criminal Minds, Lethal Weapon, Jane the Virgin, what else? Grey's Anatomy. Orville, the list goes on. How to Get Away with Murder, the list goes on and on, but yes, that is my life. My life is acting, and of course my family as well, but yeah.
Right.
That's what I am.
Well, you do a lot of things, and you and I were talking when you first came on the show, right? Because, okay, and I'm friends with Sean, right? Sean and you and I are all friends, right? But Sean seem like, brother, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, he made it seem like you were in. And then when I find out you were in a lot of these things, I'm like, wow. Like, okay. And I talk to you that I feel like you're already iconic to me. And you and I are already the same age. Because I feel like, even though we're the same age, I feel like I grew up watching you on TV when I was younger.
It's probably the essence of me that you see, probably the essence of everything that we were raised on, coming out in my work potentially.
Yeah.
like the essence of a little bit of Family Matters and a little bit of Full House and Step by Step and, you know, all of these great TGIF shows that we were raised on. But yeah, that's probably what you're feeling. I have to agree with you 100%.
Okay.
I definitely have a lot of that in me, I'm sure.
I say that because, okay, for example, the Hodges, Aldous Hodge, and what's the other one's name? Aldous Hodge?
I think it's Aldous and
Edwin.
It's his brother's
name. Yes.
What is his brother's name?
Edwin Hodge. Edwin and Aldous. So, for example, listeners, we grew up watching them, and they're around our age, too. But I've watched them in movies. I've watched them on, you know, certain cameos and TV shows and guest starring. And then I'm shocked to know that we're almost all the same age.
Right. Yeah. And I love those Hodge brothers. They're great. They are really great. Let's talk about how Aldous got a role that I auditioned for just recently, which is fun. That'll be fun.
But, okay, back in the days of being an actor, right? You and I have talked about this. Okay, there was no Facebook. There was no Instagram. There was no, you know, Tumblr. There was no things to really promote yourself. And when you and I were growing up, do you want to tell a little bit of the backstory again of how you got into acting, just in case there are new listeners? And listeners, by again, there was no Facebook. Well, Facebook, okay. It started coming out after I left high school. I was 19 when Facebook started to really, you know, get big. And then in college, everything was on Facebook. Hell, you could have a conversation about your whole wedding on Facebook. Oh, I heard you got married.
Oh, yeah.
Da, 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 da. And the whole conversation. You could even have a conversation with Facebook. But do you want to explain the process of how you got into acting and how was it different? Because, again, you couldn't use your Facebook. You couldn't use your Instagram.
Yeah, it was a completely different process. And, you know, so, yeah, correct. Like, when you and I, we were when we were coming out of high school and starting the, I guess, sort of our first year of college. It was still MySpace. MySpace was still the big place where everyone hung out, and that was actually the platform or the foundation of what we know today as social media. You know, MySpace started it all in a sense, and Facebook came in right after that, and you know, knocked MySpace completely out because you could do so much more on Facebook, and it was just a newer platform. And then that's when we first got a glimpse of, you know, wow, this new platform could come in and knock out what we thought was a huge platform, MySpace. And then it just, you know, it just kept going and going, and you know, but Facebook had a nice little run just by themselves after they knocked out MySpace. Anyways, yes. When I was first starting, which was, so after I left college and I moved back to Los Angeles, is when I got a real taste of how to sort of go about the industry and really getting into it. Because again, up until I was about 21, 22, you know, everything I had done was either college theater, and then, of course, before that, you know, I did high school theater, stuff like that. So I hadn't really tried my hand at the industry, per se. And it was a wild awakening to realize, you know, there was so much that went into it. So, for instance, again, things weren't done by email. And I remember very vividly, I was living in West Hollywood at the time, in a studio apartment on Gardner Street, which for those of you that are familiar, it's a beautiful little area. And I remember seeing the first, what was it, agent that was looking at, you know, submissions via email. And I remember thinking, oh, this is so strange that she's looking at me. You know, she's looking at people submitting via email. That was what was on her website. She was accepting email submissions, and I was like, oh, this is odd, because back then it was all mail-in. So they wanted everything in a package. So you had to send in a package of your headshot, your resume, and this is all paper headshot, paper resume, a demo reel, a full reel, which that demo reel had to have been on a CD, right? So you had to somehow figure out how to put it on a CD or burn it on a CD, your reel, and then send that all. And that was just there wasn't even a guarantee. It was just a submission. So they could still send it back to you or throw it in the trash, which they did a lot. they did that a lot. And at the time, I didn't have a reel. So the only thing I sent was my headshot, my resume, which my resume had only theater credits. So I'm sure there are tons of agencies out there that have thrown my stuff in the trash, of course, because the headshots, I'm sure, were terrible, which they were, now that I'm remembering back. And I was green. I was very green. So, but again, now these days, you know, skipping ahead, everything is done by email submissions now. Everything is digital, right? So you have everything on your computer, your headshot, your resume. And they don't even really need resumes now, because resumes they can find on your actor profiles. That you sign up for. So it's a totally different ball game. And again, trying to navigate the industry back then was extremely difficult, because, you know, you had to print all these things out, which costs money. It costs money to do everything in this industry when you're first starting out, money you might not necessarily have. So you have to be very frugal, and, you know, you have to be sure where you're sending your materials. You have to kind of choose which place is going to be best, which place might give you the best shot. You know, you don't want to waste a good headshot and resume on an agency that might not even look at you. So a lot of navigating. It's definitely a puzzle.
Mm-hmm. And what do you say? Like, say, for example, you spend all that money and you spend it on an agency that just doesn't give you the time and you get discouraged. Let's say if I'm an actor, do I keep going or do I continue to just say, hey, this is the job, continue at it? Or do I just get discouraged? Because that could happen with some new upcoming actors where they've sent They'll probably tell you, brother, I've sent you to so many agencies, my work, and they're rejecting it. What do you say to them?
Oh, absolutely. There's that happens all of the time, even to me. Even to me. I mean, it happens at every level. It even happens at the level that we see people like Denzel, Johnny Depp, Jim Carrey. There are, if you can believe it, there are still people out there who question if they can carry a film, which is obscene when you think about that because of their body of work and everything that they've done, right? We don't question if Viola Davis or Jim Carrey or Meryl or Denzel or Jamie or Will, and so on and so forth, if they can carry a film. But it's still a thing. So you're all, it always feels like this, you always have to prove yourself. You're only as good as your last body of work, right, to the industry. So you constantly have to get better. You constantly have to challenge yourself. But it can be discouraging at times, yes. There are times where I submitted, literally, I sat down on my computer and I've submitted over 50 submissions and actually looking for my first agent. And that's the catch 22 of it, right? Like, you can't get in certain doors in this industry unless you have an agent, but you can't get an agent unless you have proper credits. So it's always this catch 22 of can't have this without this, but you need this, but yeah, it can be very daunting, but you have to keep going. And you have to know, you have to, again, more than anyone else in this industry, more than anything, you have to believe in yourself. And you have to just keep pushing through the difficult times. I still do. I really do. I listen to a friend of mine who is a really big actress. Her name is Caitlin Black. For those of you that know Caitlin, she was in Heart of Dixie season 3 and season 4, and she's a main character on that show, as well as she's done a lot of other stuff. But even her, she talked about one of her recent podcasts, the roller coaster that the industry can be for all of us, no matter what level you're at. So, yeah, so there are other actors out there that are doing it or thinking about doing it. Just know that there's going to be highs and lows, but you have to keep going. And you can do it. You can do it. The worst thing is listening to people that say, oh, yeah, it's difficult. It's tough. You might want to think twice about it. Don't listen to those people. They are just consider them white noise. They are just noise.
Are they jealous?
Yeah.
The jealous.
Yeah, exactly. Jealous. Jealous of what you yeah, and some people really are. They're jealous of that can-do will to fight your way through anything mentality. And a lot of people, because people don't have that. Some people just don't. They look at this industry and they turn the other way because they don't really want to put in the work, or they just don't have that. And it takes a certain type of person, I get it, to really endure this. So,
What about actors? What about actors that kind of struggle with depression on their way of getting up with, getting up to their, finding the agent, but again, the rejection, and then they start really getting depressed. And again, you might have, I don't want to overlap on it, but what if they're struggling with depression through this all? What would you say to them when they just can't get out of that depression?
Oh, it is a very, very, very real thing. I'm glad you actually brought that up because that is something that we fail to, I guess, talk about as it should be talked about at this level and out in the open so that people can know that they're not alone in that. But depression is a very real thing in this industry. And like I said, going through the roller coaster of, booking and then it could be 6 months, a year, year and a half before you book the next thing. That is a very real thing. And let me just give you a little story. So I was signed with an agency. I'm a commercial agent who, at the time, it was my first commercial agent I think I signed with. Agency, and they're a pretty good agency. I'm not going to name it on here. Just to try to, I'm not trying to out them like that. And I've made peace, with this situation. It took a while, but yeah, I signed with this agent and this woman in particular who ran the agency, and you know, again, with my confidence in my work and my ability, I told her, I said, listen, if you take a chance on me, I will book for you, no problem. And so she did, and I booked 3 commercials under her within a span of, I think, like 4 to 5 months. And for those of you that don't know, you know, booking is incredibly difficult, right? So when you book a TV show or a commercial or a feature film, you are up against literally what could be 50 to 100 people, or you could be up against a 1,000 people, right, in competition for just one role. So it can be very challenging. But again, I told this woman, I said, listen, if you sign me, I will book. Like, guarantee, I will book. And I did. And so I want to say maybe 6 or 7 months into us working together, there was an audition that I could not make at the time because, of course, being an actor, you have a day job, and you have to balance your day job out with, at the time, I had a day job, and I had to balance it out with my auditioning. And she knew that I was available pretty much out of 7 days in the week I was available. I think five of the 7 days. And at the time, I was only working, like, what, I think 8 hours a week at this job I had. It was, you know, this job with this background casting agency. So, yeah, I was working like 4 hours a day for 2 days during the week. During those 8 hours, I could not audition. And that is a lot of free time. A lot of actors don't even have that much free time or that much wiggle room to audition. So it was a good thing. And, you know, all we had to do was work around that schedule. So there came a day where I had an audition and I could not make this particular audition. And this is, again, after I had booked some commercials with her already. Couldn't make the audition, and she was very frustrated with that, and she dropped me as a client. Wow. And, which means she dropped me from her roster, and that hurt so much because I was in constant contact with her. And the one thing that I am is very communicative when it comes to anything industry related. I communicate so much. So if I'm not able to make something, if I'm not, you know, available on certain days, you already know this about me, yeah. Right? Like that they, my reps know that about me. So if I have a block on a certain day, they know that. Right. So this was not a surprise. It wasn't like, oh, I just can't go to this audition at the last second. It was like, no, you know, you've known that this is a day I've always had to work. Anyway, she dropped me, and it sent me into a serious depression. And I want to say this was back in 2014 at some point. And yeah, it was really difficult because I'd never been dropped before. Wow. As an actor. And it just felt like, you know, someone doesn't want you. They don't believe in you. They can just get rid of you like this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was difficult. It was very difficult. And I had to search for another agency. And I just didn't have that faith in agencies anymore. I was like, wow, if they can just do this, this is kind of a scary thing, you know? Mm-hmm. But again, still through that, you have to push through and you have to continue to, you know, be about your business and do what you love, because you realize not everyone is like that. And there are great people that are literally rooting for you to succeed, and they want to help you succeed. And it's about finding the right team for you. But yeah, it does exist. And, you know, I've known a lot of actors. I talk to my acting friends all the time, and it's a struggle for us sometimes. It really is. It can be very, very challenging to keep that spirit of hope alive when all you're hearing is no, no. And not literally hearing, but you're going out a lot, you're auditioning a ton, and you're not getting anything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a real thing. So yeah.
What are, like, the red flags of, like, a bad... And by the way, listeners, we're not dissing, you know, any talent agencies. There's some real good ones out there, but there's also the negatives too. But what are the red flags that people should be aware, say, if Donovan or anyone is, well, not Donovan, Donovan's a radio host.
Right.
Well, what but no, but there could be a Donovan. Shout out. If there is a Donovan out there that wants to be an actor, what is the red flags that they should look out for in an agency, an acting agency?
Well, you should look out for, if they are asking for any money up front, run. If they are trying to connect you with... So, let me make this make sense a little bit better.
Sure.
I met with an agency, and this is, again, very beginning of my career, and I had not booked anything major. Yet and still, I knew this was scammy. So it was that bad. It's not hard to tell the ones that you're just like, I don't know, something just, my little spidey senses, I aren't feeling this. There's something about this that's wrong. But they called me in, and it was a really beautiful office and, you know, in a really nice neighborhood of LA. And I was like, okay. And so they called me in, and what I thought was weird first, I guess, from the beginning was the response. So if it seems like an auto-generated response in an email, normally an agent will write you back. If they are genuinely interested in bringing you in, to have a meeting, they will write you back. It will not be an auto-generated response. But let's just say it is anyway. Okay, fine. So you go in there, and I went in there, and I met with a guy, and I felt the whole time, well, me, I knew I was green, right? So you have to know, if you're green and it's a pretty decent agent, or, you know, it seems to be a reputable agency, and they're bringing you in, you have to question why. You always have to question why, you know, their motives, because you want to know that they are doing it for the right reasons, right? So that was the first thing I was sort of questioning. And he was just sort of, in the meeting, I remember him being sort of all over the place. Like, he was looking at things on his desk and kind of like, yeah. So tell me a little bit about yourself. And it was kind of like this feeling of, oh, you know, he's not real. He has other things to get to. Am I just another number? He's just kind of throwing out these generic questions. So I was like, okay. So I answered his questions. And then he was like, yeah. At the end, he was like, okay. Yeah. Okay. I guess we can take a chance on you. And then he looked at my headshot and resume and was like, but, you know, I think we're going to need new headshots. And I was like, okay, I'm open for that. And so then he literally gave me it was a stack of papers as far as recommendations for a photographer and a stylist and a makeup artist and what else? Potential managers. And I was like, oh my God, like this is just too convenient. Why do you have all this stuff at the ready? Mm-hmm. it was a nice printed workbook of pages, and I was just like, oh, this is super odd. Why does he just have this, and why is he recommending all of these people that are clearly his, you know, he's recommending them to me for a reason? Well, that reason is because he probably gets kickbacks from them, from recommending certain photographers and everything else. Right, so that's how that works, and that's how you'll know a scammy agency is when, not when they recommend certain people, but it was in the way that he did it, and just his whole demeanor in general was very, we get him in, get him out, we'll see if we can make some money on him, and if we can't, we'll drop him. And that's exactly how the agency ran. So you have to listen to your intuition, and you just kind of have to read between the lines of some of these agents and ask questions, ask all the questions, because they are working for you. And make sure that your goals align with their intentions for you, right? You don't want them to say, well, I see you as this, and you don't feel that way, right? That's not someone who's going to work on your behalf. You want someone that will say, yes, I see your vision. Someone that, if you are green, might recommend certain things for you, but they're not going to say, this is the way we should go, this is the way I want it. No, it should never be that. So, that's how you should definitely choose and look for agents. Make sure that they have your best interests at heart and that they want to grow with you, that they're willing to take this risk, they're willing to put in the hard work, but also know that you're willing to put in hard work as well. And it needs to be a relationship. It needs to be a really good relationship that you feel good about. So that's what's important. Yeah.
Yep. And see, listeners, we do talk about these things. It's the same thing, again, as contracts. I talk to a lot of artists as well as actors too. We talked about this, listeners, but just from a different perspective for music contracts. It's kind of the same thing. The entertainment industry in general is all the same. As Michael was saying, there needs to be a relationship. They need to work with you. They want to grow with you. And another bad sign I'd find when they get very jumpy or angry easy. That's a red flag. Am I right?
Oh, that's a red flag. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a
absolutely. And that's what I found out about that commercial agent that I was with. And again, I had never seen that side of her at all until the day that I couldn't make that audition. And again, it was something that she knew. You know, this was not a surprise. It was something I was like, no, you know, I have this day that I work these hours, so you knew already. But the switch in her energy and in her demeanor was flooring. It was just jarring. You know, I did not expect that. And I think that's more so, I think, why it really hit me to the core. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you think you have a great relationship with someone and all of a sudden they flip the switch and you're like, whoa, where'd this person come from? So, yeah, absolutely.
They do a 180 on you. And listeners, this is just life experience. This happens in life. It happens in friendships. We're friends one day and next day you pull a 180 on me I didn't see coming. Okay, you show me who you are. I move on. You move on. Don't call me back. I don't call you back. Or we have nothing to do with each other. I have no time in my life, whether I'm an actor, an actress, or a personal relationships, for 180s, people. So listen up straight. If anyone's pulling 180s on you, pay attention, as Michael said, to the red flags. That's another red flag. They just get really angry at you, and you don't know what happened. Run for the hills.
No, absolutely. Or they're very demanding of your time, or... you know, they're just not empathetic to, it's all about them. You know, it's very important. It's a give and take. Friendships, anything. Friendships, business relationships, they all work the same. It's a give and take, and it needs to go from both sides. And both sides shouldn't even be thinking about taking. Here's a little jewel for you.
Sure.
And actually, I want to reverse what I said. It shouldn't be give and take. It should be a give. Mm-hmm. The take should be a far thought. You shouldn't even be thinking about taking. It should be I want to give more to this person. I'm not even thinking about taking. Now, if they want to give something back to me, great. But, you know, that's what you need to sort of look for, you know, in these relationships and, again, in business relationships. And, again, I've learned by trial and error. Like I said, the agent that dropped me, that was a learning experience. It was challenging. It was difficult. I went through all the emotions. I went through the roller coaster. Depression, all of that, but it taught me something, and it taught me questions to ask future agencies that I would interview with in the future, and it just told me things to value. You know, it said, well, you know, you have to value yourself, number one, but you also have to figure out what you value in a relationship with an agent or an agency, and what's important to you. Mm-hmm. And you have to look. You have to look at that and answer honestly, and you know you go from there. But you know.
But if you have, let's say, if you have somebody, let's say that Donovan person has an agent and they're not ready to grow with them yet, but they know what they're doing. How does Donovan respond? Again, listeners, this is not me. I'm not looking to be an actor, but I'm Donovan is who I'm thinking about right now. But, I don't know. Let Michael have some other name for me.
I like the hypothetical Donovan. I like that. Let's keep going with the Donovan. I'm loving that. Yeah. He works very well for the situation. So what I would tell Donovan is, yes, if you are brand new, and I believe the question was, if your agent feels like you might need something.
Yeah.
At the beginning stages that you might not necessarily see, I would say entertain that. And again, just listen to what they're saying. And I'll give you an example. With my very first theatrical agent who took a chance on me, I was, again, very green and very ignorant in a lot of ways. For instance, at the time, I remember telling my first agent, submit me to Dexter, that was the big show back then, you know how big Dexter was, oh my god, love that show, I would do anything to get on Dexter, and I remember it was Dexter, and I believe it was Dexter, Entourage at the time, it was Dexter and a few other big shows at the time, I would always talk to her, are you submitting me to these shows, and I remember her at one point kind of like, I am, but they're not going to call you in. I think she said that to me. I'm submitting you, but they're not going to call you in. And I remember just being so appalled, like, what? Why wouldn't they call me in? Are you kidding me? Like, they're not even giving me a chance? And I remember that being sort of my mentality. But what I was ignorant to at the time was, of course they're not going to call me in because I had no credit. I had nothing under my belt. No TV shows under my belt. No feature films under my belt. I had nothing under my belt. On my resume. So you can't get in that room for a major TV show until you have something. So at the time, I remember her suggesting, to do what's called industrial. Industrials are sort of, when you look at, like, for instance, if you're starting a job and you're seeing the training video or a PSA, those are considered industrials, right? But industrials are more of training videos for certain types of jobs. I did a ton of industrials. I think I did like 6 or 7 industrials. I did those. I did the reenactment shows that we see on Investigation ID. I did a couple of those shows. Those were the beginning stages of my career. And again, even doing those did not get me in the door for television necessarily, but that's where I needed to start to get my training, right? What it was like to work on set, all of that. And it's safe to do it at that level because, there's no real high stakes versus, working on a Grey's Anatomy, right? Where they're working with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, potentially even $1 million per episode or whatever they put into their episodes. And you're working with all of these really big names, you're working fast, you're working under pressure, and you need to know how to handle those situations. So you need to start from somewhere. So if an agent recommends that, hey, let's look at doing these first to build your credits, to build your resume, it's smart to listen. Trust me, it is. And it's smart to entertain that and consider doing that. Because, again, you will not be able to get any doors further unless you have that training under your belt and unless you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Unless you're just insanely talented, unless you're like the LeBron James of acting and you're just built with these amazing instincts and this raw talent, then hey, you could be the one in a million. But if you're not that, then yeah, you should definitely entertain doing things to build your skill.
All right. Well, that's to Donovan, and I am not a LeBron James of acting. But there are some people that just have that gift where they can just act.
Yeah.
They don't even, yeah. Like, they can just act. Okay, for me, listeners, I don't have that gift. I mean, a lot of people said that. I'll tell you something, Michael. When I was in high school, back Okay, 21 years ago. Oh my goodness,
2021. Oh my God, you did not just say that.
I know. 21 years ago, I got the highest mark in drama. The highest mark in drama. In grade 9
wow.
drama. Yeah, in grade 9 drama. But I kind of fell off grade 10, grade 11. But okay, to substitute it, at least I got the highest mark in religion in grade 12.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow. You were multi-talented over there.
I was. But okay, but you're right. We can't just throw anyone in anything unless they're super, super talented. Were you worried that they were okay, and I know you talked about your experience. Were you worried that they were just gonna throw you in anything, your agency right now, and thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. Because look at your resume. Okay, brother. You know, and again, I say this. Like, I feel you're iconic to me. And even for you just giving my show a chance, I just always have to thank you. Because you've been guest starring on The Orville, Grey's Anatomy, How to Get Away with Murder. These are some big shows. Like, especially Grey's Anatomy and How to Get Away with Murder. You don't mess with the Shonda Rhimes, you know what I'm saying? Cast and crew, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you do not mess with Shonda. Shonda puts out that heat when it comes to her work and her shows. So, yeah, it is incredibly difficult. And the casting, shout out to Linda Lowy and John Brace. They are the ones who, well, Linda Lowy is no longer. She is the VP of production now at either Warner or Sony. Anyways, Linda Lowy was, I don't want to misquote yeah. that, but she's definitely gotten a major raise and promotion for doing amazing job with all of Shonda's shows. She did everything, Scandal, Grey's, How to Get Away with Murder. Anything that was Shonda was under Linda Lowy casting. And Linda Lowy is amazing. She is a dream. She's honestly a dream to audition for. She really is, as far as the town goes. She's a sweet woman. Her and John, her partner, they're both really sweet people. And, you know, when you're in the room, when we were in the room before this pandemic, no more rooms, no more in-room auditions, but when we were in the room, they really made you feel comfortable, like they wanted you to book the role. And they do. Most casting directors do, but they're really great people. And I see why all their shows were as successful as they were, because they're great people, but they also know talent. And they know... they're very selective and picky with who they book for even small roles for their shows, you know? And you have to come in and you have to do a really great job. And not only that, but they have to feel like they can put you on a set and not have to worry about you as well. So there was a long-standing time where I auditioned for them. I auditioned for them quite a bit before I got the roles on Grey's Anatomy and How to Get Away with Murder. Mm-hmm. But yes, definitely shout out to them. Shout out to them. But yes, I digress. I'm sorry. I feel like I went off on a tangent that
you
I should not have.
You went off on a tangent, but were you scared with this agency? Like, you know, were they, you know, thinking, oh my gosh, they're just going to throw me into any and anything. And what if I'm not ready? What if I'm not equipped? Were you scared they were just going to push you out there with no, you know what I'm saying? Because some people, and you've talked about it too, where they're just pushed out there and the agency's looking for money and profit. You know what I'm trying to ask? Like, were you scared with this other agency?
Right.
That they maybe pushed you too hard, too soon, and then you're scared thinking, how do I keep up with all these other actors? And I'm not saying it's a competition, but you know, just like for I said earlier, when you've been guest starring on Criminal Minds. Yeah, I saw that too, brother. Criminal Minds, what do you call
it? Oh, yeah, that was fun.
You know
what
I'm
saying? That was a lot of fun, yeah.
Was there fear with this next agency that they might be pushing me a little bit too hard or I'm not ready?
I think, again, hindsight, back in 2014, 2015, there was still so much I didn't know. There's still so much I don't know right now. You know, I think every level you sort of move up, you find out more and more, and that is, I guess, something you can be, I guess you can be more aware of it these days, because again, we have so many more resources, right? Via Googling, and we have the internet at our fingertips. So now, these days, we can look up anything that we want to look up. And, but I think at the time, it was just getting familiar with, certain things that might not be so comfortable with you. And, let me give you an example. Like, I remember I had an audition one time, and it was for an accent. Let's just bring up accents, for example. I studied accents in college. Now, it is great to have that under your belt, to be able to bring out an accent at any point for an audition. It just adds something else to your resume, right? And it might put you ahead of a lot of people. It's just like, and I'll give you a perfect example. There are not too many actors out there who can do what Jamie Foxx can do. Jamie Foxx is a comedian. He is a singer. He is a musician. He plays multiple instruments. He is an actor. I mean, he can do literally he can. And again, there's just not too many people that are as talented as this man. And I remember one day it really dawned on me. It was like, I was like, whoa, he can do everything. He can write. He writes songs. Anything under the sun, Jamie Foxx can do. So that being said, Jamie Foxx is a very, very valuable, I hate to say it, asset. He's a very valuable person to Hollywood and to people that are looking to cast certain things, because he can do everything, right? He has a lot to bring to the table. So that was something that was new when I first started out, because again, you know, you start getting auditions in for, hey, can your client do this Jamaican accent, or can your client do this Southern accent, and you know, you're not sure if you can. And the thing is, depending on how much dialogue you have, you only have a night to do it. You only have a night to study, basically to get proficient at what it is that you're doing. So you're breaking down a script. Not only are you breaking down a script, but now you have to add the accent in there, and you have to study up on what that feels like and the intricacies of the different dialects, depending on where you're from in a certain region. Like if you're, you know, Jamaican or Southern, like what Southern region are you from? And I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. So there is a learning curve. There is a learning curve, you know. And there is a fear that maybe I'm, you know, this is a lot to take on. There definitely is that fear. But I think there's always that innate fear working in this industry that you might not be able to bring enough to a certain role. So that's not just something for beginners. That's something that even happens with actors who are definitely seasoned. You know, with Daniel Day-Lewis talked about turning down Steven Spielberg for the role of Lincoln, right? Because he did not feel like, imagine this, if you can, listeners, Daniel Day-Lewis did not feel like he could bring to this character of Abraham Lincoln what it called for in the script, or after his meeting with Steven Spielberg, he did not feel like he could bring what this character needed. Now, if Daniel Day-Lewis, who I consider in regard to be one of the best actors ever, if not the best actor to have ever graced the screen, if this man doesn't feel like he has enough, then what does that say about everyone else? You know, there are definitely some insecurities and, you know, things that us as actors need to work out in our head beforehand to feel like, if we can do a certain character justice. But you have to go in there fearless and just try it. You know, you never know what you have unless you try it. At the end of the day, it's supposed to be all fun, and it is work. You put in the work, so then once you're done putting in that work, you can trust the process and trust what you're going to put out there. No matter, you know, no matter how it might look, because we should never be judging our work, right? We should be in our work. Let the other people that are watching it judge it. And if you didn't feel like you did the best, it's okay. You know, Kevin Hart talks about auditioning for his bomb. Every big actor can tell you their bombing story. You know, because they all have bombed. They've failed at auditions many times. But you have to fail. You have to fail to get good and to grow. So, yeah.
And you've grown. Yeah. You've grown. I wanted to change up a little bit and get you to talk about Studio City Season 2. I wanted you to talk about that. Now, you were talking with me, and you got to work a lot with this this lady. I love her. Anna Marie. Oh, gosh. What do you call her? Her name is just, her name's coming to my head, but I've seen her. Her I've grown up on, like, what are you watching? Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, Anna Marie Horsford. Is it? That's how I
pronounce
it? Yes. You got to work with her. How was that like working with her a lot? Because you told me you worked with her a lot in Season 2 of Studio City. And for listeners that don't know her, she was recently, I think she was on The Bold and the Beautiful recently for a year a bit or year or two. I don't know. She comes to visit here and there, but I don't know if she'll be going back on it. But do you want to talk about Studio City in case people don't know what it is?
Yeah, so Studio City was a show that, it was a show, is a show currently.
Season 2. It didn't get canceled.
I love how I brought that past tense in there, like it's something of the past. No, it is not. It's very current, and it is a newer show. But Studio City is a show created by Sean Kanan, it follows the life of... his character is a doctor, or plays a doctor on television. So it's basically a TV show within a show. And it follows this aging soap star who is sort of navigating his life to try and break out of this whole stigma of being a soap opera actor to, you know, transitioning into film and more of a lucrative career. And so we follow his sort of journey, and there's just a lot of people in his life that, you know, are giving him a lot of guff. You know, the head of the studio doesn't like him, you know, and this is, again, the show within the show. The studio head doesn't like him. His co-workers are giving him kind of a headache. And you know, I play his agent. I play the agent on the show. So his agent, as well as his best friend from childhood on the show. So there's that relationship of, you know, mixing business with pleasure. You know, you bring in a family member or a close friend into your business world. That doesn't always mix and mesh so well. So you have that dynamic, and you have his mother and his father, and there's a lot going on. I don't want to give too much away, but there's a lot really going on in the show. We just wrapped. Now, I believe it is, they're calling it, not Season 2, but they're calling it the new episodes, because it's still a part of Season 1. So I guess the first episode, it was Episode 1 through 6 that was released last year, and now they've released episodes 7 through 11. So it's a continuation, I believe, of the first season.
Oh, okay.
But, yes, I believe it's, yeah, they're just the newer episodes of season 1. But working with Anna Maria, right. So she is amazing. And, you know, this whole process of Studio City has been new to me as well. And talking about learning, and you're never finished learning in this industry, that was a very different process because, again, you know, working during COVID has been challenging for so many productions. You know, I have friends that have worked on a lot of different you know, things out there in Hollywood, studio productions, and it's challenging. You know, there's a lot of new protocols, and you know, as far as actors being hired, it is a much more difficult process now, with the auditioning process, the hiring process, you know, making sure people are quarantining before they come to set, and that's a whole other conversation. But They were able to put together this shoot so that we could shoot during this time. It all kind of came together last minute. We didn't even get our scripts until literally 40 minutes to an hour before we shot. So that was very challenging for me. I normally every show, every TV show I've done, you get the sides. Sides are the material that you are going to shoot for the next day. They send it to you in this sort of small paper format, and you see exactly what you're going to be shooting the next day, and you have a night to go over it. And of course, the next day you have some time before you shoot to go over it. This was not that. This was, a lot of heavy dialogue that you were receiving, again, the day that you were shooting, and so you had to really work fast and work quick. And again, this is something that I learned on, in filming these new episodes for this. That being said, I found out the night before I was working with Anna Maria Horsford, and I think Michelle, who is the writer as well as producer of Studio City, said, "Hey, you're gonna be working with Anna Maria." And I said, she's like, "You know who she is?" I was like, "Oh yeah, I know who Anna Maria. Who doesn't know who Anna Maria Horsford is? She's amazing. She's been in this industry forever.
I know.
She's done everything. What an honor, And and that wasn't any added pressure because, of course, I've worked with other people before. So I was just excited for the opportunity. I was like, "Wow!" And so we got to set, and Anna and I met first thing in the morning because we had the first scene that was up on the first day of shooting. So we rehearsed a little bit, but not too much because there was just so much going on. So a lot of what you see in there is just kind of on the fly learning. It really is. And on the fly, ad libs, improv, some of it. A lot of it is what was written, but we got to sort of play with it a little bit. But yeah, it was amazing working with her. She could not be a more sweet woman, very friendly. She carries none of that. I've been in Hollywood forever. I'm a seasoned, famous actress, so that's me. There's none of that with her. She leaves the ego far, far, far from her work, and it was such a pleasure working with her and learning and growing. Just again, even this experience has helped me grow. It's taught me some things. It showed me things that I want to carry on into my work, and things that I don't necessarily want to carry on into my work. But I was again able to see a different process of how to work in doing these new episodes. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
What do you want Studio City to explore? Which issues do you want them to tap into that they haven't explored yet? I mean, I know there are a few more new episodes, but in case listeners are saying, "Well, I want this to be talked about, I want that to be talked about," what do you think you'd like them to explore that they haven't explored yet?
Well, the great thing about this show is that there's so much room for growth. And, this being, I guess, at the level it's at right now, we're not really sure what's coming next until we start to shoot. And even then, we don't get a full scope of the script. Right, because there was not a finished product, a finished script, meaning when we started shooting. So we don't really have any way of knowing like where it is going until we see it. Now we shoot our scenes that we're going to shoot, and of course we know what's going on in our scenes, but the story as a whole, we don't really know where that's going. That being said, I did watch the episodes and stuff like that, and I think. I don't know. It's hard for me to answer that question because there are things that I enjoy seeing in projects that they might not necessarily want to and since I love talking about, I love when people bring in current things of the climate that we're in. So if we're talking about social justice issues and things like that, I love when shows incorporate and stay on top of that stuff, of whatever's going on in the world that we're living in, and bring that into the projects, because it just makes it that much more relevant and you can connect to it that much more, right? So I would love to see that in our in Studio City, mm-hmm. in further future episodes. But again, that's completely up to the writer, it's completely up to the creator of the show, and and their vision on what they want to put out there. But I would love to see that. I would love to see other relationships amongst the characters explored a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But again, that goes into, again, a lot of other things as well that, if we do, the show gets picked up by, let's just say Netflix or, Amazon Prime as an original or any of these other streaming services, that we will have more time and more money behind that so that we can explore the characters, their relationships a little bit more. But the relationship between me and Sam, who that's Sean Kanan's character, I would love to see that relationship explored a lot more as well. A backstory, what it looks like on a normal day of us hanging out together. There's so much in there I would love to see. And again, hoping that the new episodes or season two, we will be able to get to that stuff. But that's always very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exploring the character backstories are always very interesting. Like how much they delved into. I was gonna say Walter White, Breaking Bad, but not necessarily that much delving, but a little bit of context as far as how they started, versus where they are now, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So what about like wearing masks? What do you call it in the show? Like, because you wanted to explore like social, like COVID-19 obviously was the number one thing talked about in 2020. It was the number one trend. It still is talked about. It's still here and it's with us for a while. But what do you call it? Would you like, let's say you're filming an episode, would you guys film with masks on and maybe talk? Or would that be something you'd be like more to be explored?
Well, so that was actually in the new episodes. That was something that that was brought up in one of the parts. And I believe Carolyn Hennessy, who plays the studio exec, brilliantly. She's so funny in these new episodes. Oh my gosh, that Carolyn Hennessy is something else. She's a master class at acting.
Yeah.
but she does bring it up. Her character does bring it up at one point when they are actually filming when they're filming the soap opera within the show. She brings it up, and after that point, I don't think we see the mask actually on, but I know she brings it up. But again, those were the days that I was not there for filming. I was there the very beginning pieces of the shoot, the very beginning days of the shoot, and they continued on after I was already wrapped. As far as them tying that in, I love that they brought it up, but again, I don't think I saw anyone really wearing the masks after that point was brought up. So, those are great things to explore. And there's so many shows out there that are incorporating what is going on now. And I'll tell you what, it'll be very interesting to see, when I shoot 911 in this month, if that's going to be incorporated in what we're doing. What the actual scene, which I can't tell you about the scene right now. you'll have to see, you'll have to watch. But in the scenes that I'm doing, one of the scenes that I'm doing of the show, if they incorporate that, that'll be very interesting to see if they incorporate masks, because again, it is current and that is what we're in right now. So yeah.
Yeah, and now I was going to ask you that before we wrapped up. Did you want to talk about 911 or 911? I call it 911. Fantastic cast. You got Angela Bassett. You got what's his name from Parenthood? Oh gosh, I forget the lead star from Parenthood. Well, that show about that lasted for 6 seasons, and then oh god,
Oh yeah.
yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What
what's
was
his name?
the show about the family that owned the morgue, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh my God, that was that's one of the other shows that. Yeah, what is the name of that show? Okay, now we have to figure this out, Donovan.
Okay.
What was the name of that show?
Sorry, listeners. You know it cuts out on me on 60 Minutes, but Michael did figure out who the actor was. It was
Peter Krause. That is his name. Brilliant. Brilliant actor.
And he started, you said, in 6 Feet Under. He was in Parenthood. Let me tell you, him and Angela Bassett, they're like icon people. Like, these are people I wouldn't want to mess with. Like, these people know their stuff.
Oh, yeah. I've never, and it's always fun. Like, for instance, I've never met Angela, Peter, or Jennifer Love Hewitt. It would be amazing to meet any of these actors, and, you know, just to see them work is such a blessing. I mean, it really is. Like, you know, it's just like Viola Davis, getting to work with her, getting to see her work, even if for just a day, was just amazing. This woman and everyone, and even, you know, for those of you, I will plug this because it's amazing. For those of you that have not seen Ma Rainey, go look at Ma Rainey, Black Bottom on Netflix. It is amazing. Viola and Chadwick's performance is chilling. The last thing he left us with, and it moved me so much. But Viola is amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
But okay. For 911, right? I know you can't tell us the scene yet. How did you manage to land that special episode that you will be on probably in late January or February?
So let me just give, okay, great question. Let me just give the listeners a little bit of context. So
sure.
During COVID, since the pandemic started, there are no more in-room auditions. All of that's been cut off. In room, meaning you go to a casting office, you wait in the waiting room, they call you in, and you audition in front of the casting directors, producers, what have you. There are no more of those. So everything is done now by submission of tape. The tapes are shot by us, the actors. So since this happened, I have had to, you know, invest money into things to sort of build a studio, as it were. So I've had to invest in softbox lights and a nice backdrop and, you know, all of these things to help me record my auditions now. So every actor who is, you know, auditioning for anything is doing that now from their home, or if they have a studio space, they're doing it from a studio space, but we are all doing it ourselves. We're shooting it ourselves. Of course, we have a reader. So we have a reader, a friend of mine who's an amazing reader, actually two friends of mine who helped me read with my for my auditions. And, you know, we talk about the scene a lot and we kind of break it down. But anyways, this is how this has been since March.
You know why I know how it's March? The pandemic happened a day before my birthday, March 14th.
Oh my God, you know what? That is right. I forget our birthdays are so close.
Oh, when's your birthday?
I forgot that, March 10th. That's right.
Oh my, you know why? That's why there's a connection. You see, listeners?
That's why.
He's only 4 or 5 days older than me.
At the beginning, you feel like, yes, you feel like you've been watching me and the icon. That's why. Because
yes.
We're both Pisces and we both have we're close in proximity of being born on the same year. Come on now.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Why.
Come on now. Now, I'm sorry to throw you off track there. That's what the pants. So you're saying basically there has not been in studio. But I wonder how it would work for sitcoms, though, because since there's not allowed to be an audience, for example, Meet the Neighbors or certain sitcoms that are still on now, the Conners, what would they do? Would they get certain people or would they use their cast and their crew as people to laugh?
That's a really good question. And to be honest, there are so many unknowns still in this industry of how productions are making it work. There's still so much that's unknown. Again, the first thing I've shot since this has all happened was Studio City. Mm-hmm. But again, Studio City is not a major production. We're still working on a new media budget and stuff like that. So it's more of they're not the level of 9-9-1-1 or Grey's, you know, any of those big shows. So I know how they worked, and they worked it was very proficient. There were a lot of rules and regulations you had to abide by, the COVID regulations. Otherwise, productions can be shut down. So I understand from that perspective, what needs to happen. But I don't know as far as industry and some of these major network shows and how they're doing it. I have no clue. But I'm going to find out because... I supposedly have an orientation with one of the ADs or something like that. So once I get briefed on everything that's going to be happening with 911, then I'll have a little bit more insight into it. But yeah, it'll be interesting in seeing that. That being said, though, so with auditioning at home now. The fun thing about it is this, is that in the room, you only have one shot. They might give you two shots if they really like you, the casting directors, to audition. If they don't like you, you might only get one shot at it, one crack at it. With shooting at home, you know, everything is on your time. You can shoot it wherever, whenever, and you can do as many takes as you need to do, right? So that is the good thing about sending in a tape audition, because there are no restrictions. You can practice it, rehearse it, do it 20 million different ways, and choose whichever one, I guess, speaks to you, or whichever one you want to send into the casting director. So that's what's really cool. What's different about it in the sense is that the pool is much larger now. So let me give you an example. If they're, casting directors have their people that they bring in, and for some roles, when we were doing in-the-room auditions, they would only bring in, let's just say, 20 to 30 people for a certain guest starring role, right? Well, now they can open that pool up a little bit larger because they don't have to worry about bringing people into their office at a certain time slot. They don't have to worry about any of that stuff that comes along with, having an office space and making time out in your day and things like that. No, they just sit back and now wait for us to send in our tapes. So if we were auditioning in room and they were bringing in 30 people, well, now for a role, they can see 70 to 100 people if they so choose for a guest starring role. So it's become significantly harder to book now than it's ever been, in my opinion, just because the pool has opened up a lot more. Now, that's not to say that every actor that they are calling in and every actor that they are seeing are good actors, because a lot of them are not. And there's a lot of technicality now that goes into sending your audition in. Like, they want lighting to be on point. Your lighting has to be great. Your sound has to be great. The look of your audition has to be great. So you have to put in time to make sure your setup is good, make sure all of that. So there's a lot of work we're doing now, a lot more work we're doing now as actors and putting into our auditions than we ever have, ever. That being said, 911 called me in. They called me in about four or five times throughout the pandemic, and for various roles. and as well as other shows, and it's been so much fun. It's always practice. No matter if you book the role or not, it's always practice. You're always working on the craft. You're always, you know, you're always doing it, and that's the most important thing. That's to continue working to get better. So the very last audition I did with them, my agent reached back out to me and he said, "Hey, I think they're going to use you for this." And I was like, "Oh wow, that's amazing!" Again, it wasn't shocking to me. Because, like I said, I've been auditioning throughout this whole pandemic, and I've been working quite frequently. Quite frequently, meaning just auditioning a bunch and you know, analyzing scripts and, you know, even studio coming off of Studio City. So, you know, it's a muscle that you always have to stretch and flex. And so the more you do it, the better and more consistent you become. So it wasn't surprising when I booked that. Mm-hmm. But it was, of course, I was very, very grateful to have booked it. Again, it's the first major thing I've booked in the pandemic. So, yeah, I was really, really excited. Really excited.
And you'll be exercising, because I know with Firefighter 911, you will have to be running in certain scenes. Well, you know, we can't talk about the scene yet, but you know what I'm saying, brother. I hope you've been fit and don't have that quarantine belly on you.
Right. I will definitely be running. I can say that. I'll definitely be running in one way or another. So that will definitely be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. I love action roles. So any give me anything that's a little bit action. I love it. But yes, you're right. You have to definitely be in shape. And let's be real, during quarantine, it was very, very challenging. So it's definitely been some getting back into shape and getting my physique up to where it needs to be. And to keep it all the way 100, it has been a challenging 2020. So now that everything's coming back, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. How is it like doing COVID tests for actors and actors? Do you find it like, why do I have to do? Of course, it's about your safety, but do you dread it or no? Or do you think waste of time?
You know, it's one of those things that you do, but I hate it. I'm just going to be honest. It is the worst thing in the world. yeah. And funny story. So, I mean, I've done it. Me and my wife, we've gone to see family members, and, you know, there have been situations where we've had to take the test, you know, both her and I. She takes it much better than I do. I freak out. My eyes water. And the first few times I did it, I think I've only done maybe three tests, I want to say, since the whole pandemic. Three, maybe four, but I want to say closer to three. The first few times, it was really rough. The first time, it was very, very rough. Second time, not as rough. The third time, you know, for those of you that are familiar with how they do the test, they use the swab, they put it in the back of your mouth, shove it down your throat until you can't breathe, and then they stick one swab in your nose, very far up your nose, and almost to where you start to cry, and they swab a little bit and bring it back out. Well, the place I went to get my third test, they thought it would be hilarious to put two swabs in both nostrils. And I remember just, like, she did the first one, and that was already intense enough as it was. And then she went for the second one. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? And so she said, well, it's just more of a precautionary thing. You know, it's more something about it being more solid as far as the results. And I was just like, lady, this is not going to happen. But it happened, and I, you know, it was challenging, but I was like, go ahead, do whatever you're going to do. It worked out. But yeah, it feels very, very violating. Very violating. They just put it back way too far. Way too far. Well, for those of you out there that have handled the test very well and very gracefully, kudos to you. I am not that person.
And you will have to get, what is it like, or it depends on the cast and the crew, certain TV shows. Some do twice a week, some do twice, what do you call it, every week. Some do every other day, some do every day.
Well, yeah, and Yeah, and that's the thing. If you are a recurring role or a main role, so like Angela Bassett, right? Yeah. Angela Bassett and some of these main characters on these major shows. Yeah, I mean I don't pretend to know. I'm not going to pretend to know how much they're testing, but I'm imagining that they have to test very, very frequently because they are always on set. And I don't know the rules and regulations and exact protocols and how much they have to test. But if you're a main character coming back every single day for work, I'm pretty sure you have to test frequently. And you have to do what you have to do. You know, of course, if I was blessed with that, you know, that reoccurring role or lead on a series, I would have to do what I have to do. Do not like it, and they would definitely see me cry every time I tested. Mm-hmm. I would do it.
Mm-hmm. And there have been actors that have tested positive for COVID-19 still, and some people, what do you call it? I mean, the well-known woman on Gilligan's Island, she had died from COVID-19 the other day.
Don Wells.
Yes.
Yes, Don Wells just passed, and so have a lot of people. Yeah, that was, I had no idea that Don Wells was even, I mean, I didn't really look up the cast, but now I know it was only her, Don Wells, and the lady now, the only surviving cast member is Ginger, the woman who played Ginger. But yeah, it's very, you know, if you're older and, you know, as we're all hearing, it's not just the virus, but it's the underlying conditions that a person might already have that just complicates, the virus just complicates that even more so. And it's harder for their systems to fight. You know, people with already compromised immune systems. And there's so many people out there like that. My dad is like that. My in-laws, they have compromised immune systems. So, yeah, this thing is, you know, it's definitely taken a toll on everyone in one way or another. And, you know, I've had friends who have lost multiple family members during this time. So it's definitely been a rough period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're in 2021 now, right? What do you want to tell people? A encouraging message from you. What do you want to tell people in 2021, whether they're an actor, they're an actress, or they really love you, they love what you've been doing, and they see you moving up in the acting world? What's an encouraging message that you want to tell us this time that you didn't get to tell us last time?
Oh, I would just say this, because again, we are in different times. 2021, you know, this feels like a year. We got through what feels like what was a very, very bad year. It was something that was very unexpected for everyone, for the most part, right? The way it looked, how long it lasted, how many people died, the deaths that hit so close to home. 2021 feels like a year of just, I guess, more hope for this year. And the new administration coming in, putting in the federal mandate, hopefully on, you know, I think they're talking about 100 days of everyone wearing their mask. Because it's a collective thing, and for those of you that don't believe in wearing a mask, you know, it's really not about just you. It's really about just other people and empathizing with other people that might, again, have compromised immune systems, even if you feel like you are healthy. It's just it's us all being on one page, right? Solidarity. I'm going to support you. You support me, no matter what you feel like. And it's not some political agenda. And I feel like a lot of people feel like it's a political thing. It's really not. It's a humanity thing. And I think when you look at it from that perspective, you can empathize with those who believe in wearing the mask and those who have lost loved ones and those who just want this to end, just like everyone else. You know, the people that don't wear a mask, the people that do believe in wearing a mask, everyone wants the same goal. We all want the same thing, and that's for this thing to end so that we can get back to some type of normalcy. You know, it's never going to look the same because this has definitely struck a large blow in our country, but we can get back to somewhat of you know, what we knew and resuming our lives and our jobs and more importantly, being around the family and the people that we love the most and being able to hug them and interact with them in a way that we have not been able to in so long. So that's what I want to say to everyone. Just have hope for the new year. Do your part. No matter if you understand the wearing of the masks or not wearing of the masks, just be empathetic to other people's needs, concerns, and be hopeful. Let's just be hopeful and let's bring in this new year right and try to be on the same page. You know, there's so much going on in the world right now. And again, some people will believe that, some people won't believe it, some people will take that and do what they will with it, but that's my hope. My hope is that everyone just enters this new year with a new mindset and, you know, we can get out of this.
Yep. Yeah. And to your other actors and actress friends or actors, what do you want to tell them about the work life, the culture life, and just within this pandemic? What do you want to say to the other actors?
Oh, yes. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Actor friends, musician friends, musical friends, entertainment friends, keep pushing. It has been very, 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 very challenging for me. Trust me when I say that. I'm not just saying that. Very challenging for me during this time, you know, since March, April, when this started. It's a new norm having to get used to. You know, you're getting used to doing things from home. You know, there wasn't this, you know, work is coming and it's going and it's coming and it's going. Protocols are changing. You know, the amount of work is still out there, but the pool is much larger now. So, and casting directors aren't as hands-on as they used to be, you know. So just continue to work hard, continue to move forward, continue to take care of yourself, I think, psychologically and mentally. Do the things that are going to help you during this time, whether it be running, writing, meditating, whatever that thing is for you that allows you to get into a great headspace to where you can move forward into the next day, into the next week, the next month on a positive note, and be positive for those around you in your circle, and, you know, do that thing. Do that thing, and yeah, just know that we're all in this together, and it's not easy for anyone, no matter what level you're at, even for the millionaires. And I think that's the one thing that I've realized during this time. This has been a humbling experience for everyone, not, you know, for someone who is, you know, doesn't have that much money, the person who is a, you know, one percenter, big actor, big name celebrity. You know, it's challenging at every level right now. So we're all in this, and continue to take care of yourself mentally, emotionally, and I'm hoping for the best for all of you listeners.
You know what I forgot to ask you? Do you write at this time? I've asked you the first time. Are you writing scripts for yourself? Because you never know, brother.
Absolutely. This is I'm actually working with, I met an incredible person who is now like a sister to me. But we have developed a show. We have. And it's amazing. And Donovan, you would love this. The show that we've developed out of the pandemic, as well as the social justice issues that were going on at the time, the beginning of the year. And it's something I'm really excited about. It talks about these four different characters from all different walks of life. They're all people of color. They all have a different view and a different perspective on life, love, entertainment, and we see how all of these stories end up being intertwined. And it's something that we are still, it's still a work in progress, but we have pitched the show. And my friend, you know, she actually had a show option by Sony. So we know people at Sony, Warner Brothers, 20th Century Fox. Right now, it's still in the very, very beginning stages. Oh, I shouldn't say very, very. Let me take that back. Let me roll that back. We have finished, 7 or 8 episodes right now. They're still being revised. So originally when we wrote it, it was a short form, so very similar to Studio City. Studio City is written short form, meaning this episodes are 10, 11 minutes each. We're thinking about revising that now, because again, there are a lot of short form, like Quibi is no longer a thing. So there are certain platforms that aren't available anymore, so we might have to revise it the way it's written. But we're really excited about it, and we have a lot of people in places that can do something with this. And, you know, primarily, me and my partner, we developed it for ourselves. You know, these are the roles that we want to play. You know, we've just been talking and sitting down, and you would love her as well. She's a brilliant writer. She's done a lot. She has been in the industry and probably even deeper than I have. She knows so much. And, it's kind of developed out of us just talking and realizing these are the roles we want to play. This is the representation we want to see. You know, this is something that we have not seen before. And yeah, so I will definitely keep you abreast as we move forward, in our production. But again, right now we kind of came to a standstill because of COVID, because of, you know, us being limited in meeting with certain people and stuff like that. So everything we've had to do primarily has been off of Zoom. You know, we were able to take one in-person meeting not that long ago at a restaurant, well, a couple months back when restaurants were still open, outdoor dining. So yeah, we're continuing to push forward, but hopefully that will definitely become a thing this year. At some point, we don't know when, but I will keep you up to speed for sure.
Well, there's lots to look forward, you know, for you in 2021. So there's lots that we're going to look forward for this year from you, right?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely. I'm really excited about this year. Really hopeful, really excited.
Now, did you want to throw out your platforms in case they're new listeners, or maybe there could be other actors, upcoming ones that have questions for you? You never know who's listening. Do you want to throw out your platforms?
Absolutely, yes. My Instagram handle is at MJ Lazar. So it's at the letter M as in Mary, J as in James, Lazar, Lazar. And that's the primary platform I'm on. I don't have a Twitter. I do have a Twitter, but I don't tweet anymore. I just find it annoying. So,
brother, you're going to have to get back into it. I'm tweeting now.
You know, and maybe we'll come back around at a certain point. But right now, I'm having a hard enough time with Instagram and, like, updating. And my wife and I, we've talked about this so much. Just, you know, that whole algorithm and staying relevant on Instagram and posting. She's much better at it than I am, but I'm trying to get better at it. But I would definitely check my messages. And if anyone has any questions about anything, feel free to reach out. I will gladly share my knowledge about whatever that might be that you're looking for. And, you know, we all need help. I have questions to certain people out there, and when they are gracious enough to answer me, I really appreciate that. So, yes, I will extend that to any of the listeners. Absolutely.
All right. Listeners, we started off 2021 with actor Michael James Lazar. I really, really want to thank him for coming back on this show because, you know, not a lot of actors want to come on a platform like this, Michael, where they can relax. You know, I'm the little guy. I'm not like the Joe Rogan or, you know, the big guy.
Oh, my gosh. Listen, I don't care. I don't care what platform. You ask great questions and you bring up great topics. And you're a great interviewer. Are you kidding me? So here's the thing. You're here now, but trust me, like, you are, your trajectory is only going up as well. So you're here now. So we are both technically in the same space right now, if you think about it. Like, I am still at the beginning stages of my career still, and so are you. So, I mean, listen, we're both getting to know each other at a great time, because, hey, there might be a time where I can't reach you.
That might be a time I can't reach you, brother. You're an actor. I'm like, okay, and I know people will say, well, what do you call it? Not all actors are, you know, think they're up there. You know, some actors would not give me the time or day. I'm sorry, I gotta pass. You're not high enough. But, you know, I respect you a lot because you're growing with me. I'm growing with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm more of the radio type of person. Like, listeners, I say radio, rotation, spins, everything, music.
Yeah.
I'm your guy. I'm your guy. But to act.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. No, that is amazing. That is amazing. And your skill set and what you do, this is for a whole other conversation for you and I, but I did what you do in college. My first year of college in Kansas, I was at my school radio. I was a host. I was a host on the radio, and I cannot tell you. Oh, if I could find those tapes somewhere. Oh my God, they were all recorded. They were lost somewhere in some move at some point. But that was so much fun to me. So what you do is a blast, and it takes someone with real skill to know the questions to ask, how to segue into certain topics. Oh, come on, man, you're good.
Yeah. I want to thank you for your support in 2020, and I hope 2021 again in this year, we will have you back again. And listeners, if you want to reach me, Donovan, Donovan, LACROXI, @gmail.com. It's the same as it was in 2020, and it will be the same in 2021. And I don't know if, you know, in 2022, we'll get there when we get there. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll get there when we get there. Let's finish off this year first. We'll see how it goes.
Let's finish off 2021. I'm already saying, what do you call it? Let's finish 2021. It hasn't even started yet. So, Michael James Lazar, listen, I really want to thank you for coming
thank
back
you.
And being the first person of 2021.
Thank you so much. And I'm really honored that you brought me back. And again, to all your listeners, I'm wishing you all a prosperous 2021. Remember, stay hopeful, stay on top of things, and again, I am hoping for the best for everyone this year. And thank you, and I will be back.
He'll be back. He'll be back, listeners. That's going to do it for another episode published January 1st, 2021. Not 2020's done, so 2021. Take care.